Isaiah chapter 1. God showed me something the other day, and what he showed me, I'm going to wait till we get toward the end of the message to tell you. We heard a lot of comments from people whose mom or dad or somebody in their family took them to church when you were young. Who in here did not go to church as a young person? Was not taken to church? Okay. Just a couple. The rest of you were taken to church by your parents or somebody, right? Wow. That's more than I thought. It's more than I thought. So I want you to look in Isaiah chapter 1. And this is about raising children who rebel, or in general, children who rebel. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1, the vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and they are gone away backward. I want to keep reading in this because there's a lot of good things in Isaiah chapter 1, and I may not read the whole chapter, but I want us to look at verse 5, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. In other words, God tried to correct them. He tried to chasten them, and they wouldn't. They just keep revolting more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. This would apply, I think, to America. I think it would apply to a lot of homes in America and a lot of children. I was a child brought up in church, and there was quite a few young people in this church when I was growing up. Most of those young people, most of those kids that I grew up with, are not in church anymore. If they ever come back, that'll be because the Lord brought them back. But I know a lot of people that I've known in my lifetime went to church in school, high school. They're not going back. They're not coming back. Not just in this church, but when I went to school, even I went to Twin City Christian Academy for 2 years. And a lot of the kids that I went to Christian school with are not living for the Lord, not serving the Lord. Megan, you know, you went there. A lot of kids that are your age now, not serving the Lord and not living for the Lord. It's like this nation raised children in church, and a lot of those children now are lost, not serving God, not living for God, not going to church, not living a righteous life, and they have forsaken the ways that they were taught as children. Verse 7, then, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. If that is any indication of what could happen to America, because in America's youth, our country knew the Lord and now is forsaking it. That to me is obvious and it's evident. And it could very well end up that our cities will be burnt with fire just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devoured in your presence. Think about that right now. Strangers in our land, devouring our land. How much of America is owned by foreign interests now? How many companies and corporations are owned by other nations or people in other nations or banks in other nations? It is desolate as overthrown by strangers, and the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. In other words, the people were thrust out of their homes or left their homes, and around their homes was, they were growing gardens, there was plenty to eat, they probably had cattle, but they're just gone for no reason. In verse 9, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Except there's still some God-fearing people in this nation, I think God would have already turned this nation over like Sodom and Gomorrah. Can I hear somebody say amen? I want you to look at verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Saith the Lord, I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and of the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. How many people in this country still yet go to church, but their lives outside of the house of God are full of iniquity, full of unrighteousness? It's like they go there as a show to make it look good on the outside, but still and yet their lives are unchanged. They have no, it's like there's no desire whatsoever to even try to live for the Lord. So what is the purpose then of them going to church every Sunday? God said, I'm tired of that and I'm not going to have it anymore. And he said in verse 15, when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Verse 16, wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Verse 18, if you don't have this verse underlined in your Bible, underline it. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. And verse 20, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And then verse 21, and then I'm going to pray, and you pray for me this morning. I know how to preach this message. How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now, murderers. Heavenly Father, I'm asking for your grace, your help this morning, in preaching this message. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you showed me and what you helped me with the other day in this passage. I thank you, Lord God, that you have helped us all, Lord, as young people, raised in church, knowing to do what's right. And Father, now we stand as adults, having learned many lessons and learned, Father, the truth behind what it was that we heard as children. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for a church full of people who were raised in a right way, taken to the house of the Lord. And Father, as adults, we went out and tried a little bit of the world and found out that what our preacher was saying, what our mom and daddy was telling us was true. And we came back to you. But Father, there are those that we tried to reach as a church, young people that we tried to make a difference in, an entire nation full of people that heard the truth and then walked away from it, never to come back. Father, remind us of how we were at times when we were children and the things that we did wrong. And Father, then remind these young people that are in this house this morning and those that are listening online. Father, I pray, dear God, that you would teach them and instill in them the right ways. Help us as adults, Lord, to live it in front of them, to instill it in them, so that years from now there's a generation of young people that are still serving you. But Father, I know and I understand that even when the very best is done in these, our young people, the very best things are taught, the very best things are lived in front of them, there are those that are just simply going to rebel. And they're going to turn. They're going to turn from their mom and dad. They're going to turn from what their church taught them. They're going to turn from what the Bible said. And they're going to go out and they're going to live in rebellion and they're never going to turn back. And God, at some point, you will deal with them as with Sodom and Gomorrah. Father, we ask, dear God, that Israel would be our guide this morning. And the mistakes and the things that Israel did would be mistakes that our young people of today would avoid. Mistakes that we as adults made, and yet you brought us back. And Father, give us hope, Lord, that there are wayfaring people out there, raised in church, taught well by their mother. Father, let there be hope for some of those yet, that they'll come back. Father, bless your word. Help me to preach it this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, we're going to use Israel as our guide this morning. And so in several places in the scripture, I want you to turn with me. The first place we're going to do is Numbers chapter 14. What I did was I went through the books of the Old Testament and I looked at some of the mistakes and some of the things that Israel did. God is in Isaiah chapter 1, he's referring to his people, the children of Israel. And he's at a place now to where he's just about had it with them. He's done everything he could for them. And he's given them everything that was right and decent. He's fed them. He's taken care of them. He's taught them his law. And they have done nothing but rebel against him. You see, for every young person that grows up in church and has good teachings by their mother, and at some point it sets in their life when they become adults and they decided that they're going to continue to live for the Lord and they come to church and they do what's right, for every one of those, there's probably a dozen or 20 or 100 or a lot more people who are raised in church or taught right. Even if your parents didn't take you to church, they taught you what was right. They taught you how to live. They taught you right things. And yet, for everyone who's still in church, there's a lot more out there who are not living right. They're living against what their mom and dad taught them, or they're living against what the Bible taught them as a young person, or they're living against what they were taught, the manners that they were taught, the decency they were taught in the house of God. And we have a nation full of those people. The baby boomer generation, which you may be a part of, for every one of you, that was raised in a time when there was a morality in this nation, for every one of you out there that's still in God's house, still living right, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of Americans out there that have turned against the morality that they were raised in as a child, and they are part of the immorality problem that we are facing in this nation. Can I hear you say amen? Do you see that? I mean, you're the ones that came to church and stayed in church. But we have a lot of young people. I went to church with a lot of young people. I went to Christian school with a lot of kids that are not in church now. And the things that they were taught, they could not care less about. And my heart goes out to every child in this church and every one of you listening to me. My hope is that you will learn from the mistakes that were made. You will learn from the things that you're taught in the Bible about Israel. And just ask the question, what happened to Israel when God finally was through with them? God cast them out of their land. And as far as the 10 northern tribes, they were thousands of years before God ever let them back into the land. With those of Judah and Benjamin, they were thrust out for 70 years before God let them back. When God has had it with people, He's had it with people. Go ask Noah about that. Go ask Lot, who stood and watched the destruction of his home in Sodom and Gomorrah. Go ask Lot, when God is done with people, He's done with people. And they can rebel only so long, and then God's had it. Numbers chapter 14, verse 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Young people, watch your mouth when it comes to what your mom and dad are telling you, what your mom and dad are trying to teach you. If there's anything that we know about children and young people today, is that they murmur. They murmur against what mom told them. They murmur against what dad told them. They murmur against what they heard in Sunday school. They don't like it. And they murmur and they complain. The whole congregation said to them, would God we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. They were rebelling. In Numbers 14, they were rebelling against God. And they said, it'd be better us for to just die or to go back to Egypt than it would be to keep serving God. And I would say to every young person listening to my voice, and I would say to any adult listening to my voice, you murmur and you complain about what God has tried to teach you, you're going to face the consequences. Turn to Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 20, we're going to move through scriptures. We're going to look at the mistakes that Israel made. Young people, don't make these mistakes. Don't complain. Don't murmur against your parents. Because you do. Right? Raise your hand if at some point when you were a young person, you told everybody how stupid your mom and dad was. I knew it that my children were going to do it. I know it when my children still do it. They murmur. Numbers 21, verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. You know what that means? You don't like how hard you have it. Now, I want you to think about that statement. You don't like that you have chores to do. You don't like that you have work to do. You don't like that your mom and dad is trying to instill in you responsibility, that life is not free and it's not a free ride, in spite of what some people tell you. Oh, we got on a government program. We don't have to do anything. That's a lot of trouble. Idleness was one of the things that God said was the sin of Sodom, Ezekiel 16. God said abundance of idleness was their problem. So just because you get on a government program and you got money coming in and you don't have to work and you don't have to do anything, You are creating for yourself an abundance of idleness, and I promise you, sin will creep into that. Numbers chapter 21, we're much discouraged because of the way. And I hear it. I hear kids complain about what they've got to do and the chores they got to do and how they got to do this and how they got to do that, and they don't think that's fair. You don't understand how your grandparents lived and how your great-grandparents lived. How they had to walk I'm not making this up, this is not a joke. How they had to walk 3 miles down to get water. How they were dragging a sack of cotton through a cotton field, picking and chopping cotton, just so they would have enough to eat. And there was no thought of buying a $100 pair of shoes. Your great-grandparents got shoes handed down to them if they were lucky. And you complain. And you murmur. And you don't like the way that your parents have been trying to give you. So in verse 5, and the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul lies at this life. Let me ask this. Were they telling the truth when they said there's no bread? Were they telling the truth? No. God gave them bread every day. Were they telling the truth when they said there is no water? No. They had plenty of water. The rock followed them everywhere they went, and God made sure they had plenty of water and that they had plenty of bread. They just didn't like what God was giving them, and so they complained about it. Are you listening? It's not that you don't have anything. It's just that you know that there's other kids out there that get more expensive stuff, and you don't, and you don't like it, and so you complain about what you got. Instead of being, listen, these adults that were telling these stories, they were now thankful that their mother sacrificed and did for them and gave to them what they could afford and what they had. Our soul lieth this light bread. They were talking about manna. You know what that means? They didn't like the Bible. You know what these mega churches are full of? They're full of a generation of people who went to church and didn't like the Bible given to them. And so they found churches where there is no light bread. There's no Bible. And they fill those churches. They complain that they didn't like the preacher preaching the old time way and preaching the Bible. So they complained about it. And so in verse 6, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of the people of Israel died. You know what I heard this morning, one of the testimonies I heard? I thank God that I lived long enough to come back to the gospel that I was taught as a young person. Because what God could do is get in a killing mood and put a stop to your rebellion. You wouldn't be the... Listen, I knew kids that never saw graduation day at high school because they were killed at a young age. One young lady, 3 days before her graduation, she was a grade above me, 3 days before her graduation, she was out at a graduation party getting drunk, and her car crashed and killed her 3 days before her graduation. You know what God got tired of? God got tired of her living like a dog in her mom and daddy's house while her mom and daddy was trying to raise her right. Her sister didn't turn out that way, by the way. She had a twin sister. Now go to Numbers chapter 25. Numbers 25, verse 6. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought into his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses. You see, if you read down, let's see, where is it? If you look at verse 16, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, vex the Midianites and smite them, for they vex you with their wiles wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor and the matter of Cosby. that Midianitish woman, her name was Cosby, like Bill Cosby. That was her name. And the Midianites used whores, whorish women, to try to bring down the morality of the Israelites. Listen to me. Young people, listen to me. The world does not like the position that churches take when it comes to indecency, morality. You know what that means? We don't agree that it's okay for couples to shack up and live in fornication outside of the role of marriage. We don't believe in sodomite marriage. We don't believe in killing unborn babies. The world does not like the position of churches who still take a stand against that. And their job, they've got it in their mind, if we can bring down the morality of the churches, they won't be in a position to tell us what to do. What I'm telling you, young people, is there is a trap set for you outside of this church. A trap is being laid to destroy your morality and to destroy the things that you've been taught were right and wrong, so that you are so degraded morally, you won't take a stand against those things any longer. Am I telling the truth? So you look at what happened. One of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. That is, everybody who was brought up in church went out and rebelled against what they were taught, found them a whore, walked around with them in the sight of their old church people and say, look what I can do and get away with. Right? We don't need your church telling us what to do. We get to do whatever we want to. Look at what I get to do and get away with. Look at verse 7. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman, through her belly. You get that picture, don't you? He was laying with her, and the man went in with a javelin and killed them both. And so the plague was stayed from the children of Israel, and those that died in the plague were 24,000. Did you know that because of this event, God killed 23,000 of them in one day? What I'm telling you is, young people, God is about ready to have his fill of the immorality in this country. And if he is any kind of righteous judge, he's going to put a stop to it one of these days. You don't want to be caught on the wrong side of this thing. Amen? Now see, I'm preaching all this stuff. These are things that are right. These are things that are true. These are things that we were taught not to do, not to go against God, not to go against the Ten Commandments, not to go against the Bible. And I was taught the same thing that everybody else who was a child and a young person, when I was in church, I was taught the same thing they were. But for some reason, they still turned out the way they did. Now turn to Numbers, Deuteronomy, turn to Deuteronomy 5, verse 23. And it came to pass when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that you came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and you said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness. We have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that have heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and live? Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I've heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Who in here now believes that God's ways were right all along, and when you strayed against them, you were the one that wronged, and you are thankful that God brought you back? Say amen, raise your hand, do something. Let these young people know. God still wants a people that will have it in their heart that they will listen to God and they'll fear God and keep His commandments. Deuteronomy 11. Therefore, verse 1, therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep His charge and His statutes and His judgments and His commandments always. And know you this day, for I speak not with your children which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, His greatness, His mighty hand, and His stretched out arm, and His miracles, and His acts, which He did in the midst of Egypt, and unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and unto all this land, and what He did unto the army of Egypt, unto their house, unto their horses, unto their chariots, how He made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord had destroyed them unto this day. And what He did unto you in the wilderness, even until ye came into this place. And what He did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the sons of Reuben. How the oath opened their mouth and swallowed them up, and their households and their tents, and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. In other words, God's saying, you've seen how I deal with sinners. You've seen it. I don't tolerate it. God, who said this to Israel, is the same God. And if you think that you can go out and do whatever you want to and live however you want to and not face the consequences, you were told in church that there's always consequences when you go against God. Am I right? Verse 7. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which He did, therefore you keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land where you go to possess it, that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give it to them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. You see, God shows you, has shown you in your life what He does to sinners, and then God is showing you what He does with those who honor Him and keep His commandments. God says, I set before you the land, and I'll give it to you forever, and I'll bless you. That's what I do to the holy people. To the unrighteous people, I kill them, because I don't put up with it. Now Deuteronomy 12, verse 28. Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. So you know what God says to those who, like your parents did, or like people did here, they stand up and testify and they say, this Bible's right. God has been good to me. God has blessed me. And I know that God will keep His promise to me because I trust Him. Amen? Deuteronomy 13. Turn there. I'm getting to the quick of it here. So just give me a minute. Deuteronomy 13:13. Certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you. So, in this church, or let's say in the group of people that's hearing my voice today, there's always going to be those who are not children of God, even though they're in church today. There's always those who, no matter what they've heard, no matter what they've been taught, no matter how well they have been taught that, they're going to go out and rebel. Ryan quoted a verse a while ago. He did a poor job of it, so I'm going to straighten it out for him. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. I've heard that passage many times. And I want you to hear me out. I'm not suggesting that we stop trying to raise children right, because I've now seen the evidence that it works and that practically every one of you were taught right growing up, and you're still right with God, even though I mean, I know at some point, mom and daddy's faith's got to become your own. You go out and test the waters like prodigal son, come back, find out mom and daddy wasn't as stupid as you thought they were, right? I get that. But I want you to look back at Deuteronomy 13. Certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which you have not known. Then shalt thou inquire and make search and ask diligently, and behold, if it be truth and the thing certain that such an abomination is wrought among you, God finishes by saying, I'm going to get in a killing mood and I'm going to put them out. Deuteronomy 14, ye are the children of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself. Above all the nations that are upon the earth, thou shalt not eat any abominable thing. All of these rules and regulations that God gave us in his law, and we went out and we broke them and we found out that God was right, and so we come back, and that's great. I'm all for that. Let's keep raising children the right way. But there's always going to be those that no matter what you do, and no matter how well you do it, they're not going to listen. I was going to put this picture up on the screen. I forgot about it. Let me give you some names. They call this the Million Dollar Quartet. You know who I'm talking about? The Million Dollar Quartet. There's a picture, famous picture, of Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, and Jerry Lee Lewis standing around a piano. Elvis is playing. Jerry Lee and Johnny and Carl are all sitting there and they're singing. And the recording guy, the guy that owns Sun Records, I can't remember his name. He's the guy that gave all four of these guys their start in music. And he just happened to have them right there all together. And he took this picture and he actually recorded some of them, and they were sitting down there playing gospel music. Do you know why? Because Johnny Cash and Elvis Presley and Carl Perkins and Jerry Lee Lewis, all four of them grew up in church learning how to do music by singing and playing in church. All four of them. Johnny Cash, if you know that story, the movie was right. When he first went to cut his first record, he wanted it to be a gospel record. And the guy that owned Sun Records talked him out of it, and he said, you've got a different sound. And he pulled that out of him. And Johnny went and shoved so much cocaine up his nose, it almost killed him. Elvis Presley died from a drug overdose. Carl Perkins, I think he got killed in a car wreck or something like that. Jerry Lee is still alive, but he knows that he spent his life living for the devil, and all four of those guys grew up in church. All four of them. You know what they are? The seed of evildoers. Children of Belial. Because they were taught the right way. Knowing that it was the right way, and then deliberately rebelled against it. Maybe Johnny Cash, out of all of them, maybe he got things right before he died. Maybe he did. In Deuteronomy 32, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath brought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Has not God done enough for you? Let me get to it. Deuteronomy 32, you read this when I'm done today. But I want to go back to Isaiah 1. And I'm going to speak my heart. I've said all of that to say this one thing. At the end. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Not going to ask you to stand and testify. This I don't have anybody in particular in mind. God knows my heart. Those of you listening on online, you, some of you undoubtedly will know what I'm talking about, and maybe some of you here will know what I'm talking about. Yes, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But God showed me something the other day in Isaiah chapter 1. Because undoubtedly some of you have children that are not living for the Lord, and they are not going to live for the Lord, and they will die in their sins. And what we want to do as parents is say, I must have done something wrong in raising them, or they would have turned out right, because after all, train up a child in the way he should go. And if I were to maybe go around the room and ask, who do you think the best parent is among our church? There might be differing opinions. But I can tell you, Lisa and I, we've made our share of mistakes raising our children. You have, and if your children are still young, you will not do everything right raising them. It's an ideal to raise children in a perfect manner. I have people call me all the time wanting advice on how they want me to tell them how to raise their children so that their children don't turn out bad. And they are surprised when I tell them, my wife and I made mistakes and we didn't do this. What? We did the best we could. We're not saying that we did everything right. But here's what I want to tell you. The very best parent in the whole Bible was God. And look at verse 2 of Isaiah 1. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Do you think God made mistakes in raising Israel? Do you think God did them any wrong? Do you think God messed up in trying to raise the children of Israel? I mean, he called them the children of Israel. He referred to them as his children. Did he not? Did God make any mistakes in trying to raise Israel? The answer is no. And yet, when they grew up, they constantly murmured, they complained, they despised the bread that he gave them, they despised the rules and the regulations that he laid down to them, and he loved them, and he chastised them, and then he loved them some more, and he nourished them, and he did everything right. And they still rebelled. So here's what I'm telling you. Just because you did what you thought you had to do and needed to do with your children, and then they still went out and turned their back against God, don't blame yourself. Don't lay that guilt on you that it's your fault. Because not even God could raise Israel well enough to where they would not rebel against him. You may have 6 children. 5 of them turned out pretty good. There's always one. I told my mom I was going to preach this morning, and she said, you don't talk about me? I said, no. I said, them Corzine kids, They were a pretty rough bunch, but there was one, my Uncle Sonny, drank alcohol at the youngest age possible, was a pervert, literally a pervert, drunken, no good, baby-making pervert that died in his 30s of cirrhosis of the liver, and he's burning in hell right now. There was no way in the world that that man was ever going to get right with God and live right. To blame his mama, to blame his upbringing, he just turned out wrong, and there wasn't no fixing it. And the sad thing is, we got kids, we love them, we've done everything for them, they're just not going to turn out right. Because not even God could make Israel live right. And the sad thing is, there could very well be children in this room right now. You're going to rebel. You're going to turn your back on everything that you've heard. And nothing is going to stop you. And that's the shame of it. And we'll weep all the way throughout your life, hoping that you'll turn around and come back, and then weep at your funeral that you didn't. What a shame. But to the ones that we have, that we can make a difference in, let's make a difference in them. Let's teach them the right way. Let's teach them. Let's instill in them. Let's enforce rules. Let's make them do things that right now they don't want to do, because in 30 years, they'll stand in a church and they'll say, I thank God for my mom and dad and how they raised me and how they made me do things. And they'll do it with tears in their eyes like you did today. Amen? But I don't know who it's for. But you've beat yourself because your kid didn't turn out right, and you want to blame yourself, and I'm just telling you, not even God could raise them right. Some of them are just a seed of evildoers. So tell God thank you for the ones that did turn out right. Amen? Let's bow our heads. And you know what? Maybe they will come back. I say don't give up on them. Vestal Goodman of the Singing Happy Goodmans was friends with George Jones. And she went to George Jones' house before George Jones died and led him to the Lord. And he got saved right there, and I believe is in heaven right now. George Jones, biggest drunk in Nashville. God still saves wicked people, doesn't he? Don't give up on them, but don't blame yourself.